This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Here we go again. How are you?
Boker Tov, yeah, here we go again a little. It's quite interesting that there's a lot of comment being made, particularly within Israeli security circles, about whether Monday might have been a missed opportunity and potentially even a lost opportunity, because it is broadly understood that Israel was lining up for quite an extensive attack against Iran on Monday that had been enabled by Iran attacking Israel. And we know that it was essentially stopped by President Trump, even though the reports say that President Trump didn't say no. He just simply said, Iran has stopped firing. Iran has advised us that they have stopped firing, and we're very close to reaching an agreement, which Prime Minister Netanyahu understood to mean, don't carry out this attack. Mm. So even though President Trump didn't explicitly say, don't do it, but we did see his post on Truth Social, which went, Iran and Israel stop firing, or something like that. It was quite explicit in the public domain. But, you know, it also raises up a whole bunch of, am I allowed to say bunch of things? That's a very American term.
Yeah,
a whole host of... A whole host of a whole raft of issues about Israel's dependence on the United States. And even though we feel that this U.S. administration has been incredibly supportive of Israel and its endeavors against Iran in particular, but also just more broadly its fight against terror, what that essentially does is it creates a certain dependency. Israel has sort of become dependent upon Iran, upon the United States, I'm sorry, for its battle against Iran, against terrorism. And Prime Minister Netanyahu interestingly has said that Israel may need to go it alone if it wants to continue the battle against Iran, which means potentially not taking advantage of U.S. support, which means perhaps no refueling, perhaps no anti-missile systems that the U.S. has deployed in the Middle East in order to help defend Israel. Maybe we'll have to forego all of those support issues, support systems, infrastructure that the U.S. has provided to Israel up until now. And of course, it sort of ties in very closely with the Prime Minister's program, which has already begun to implement, of weaning Israel off U.S. financial support. That's a kind of a 10-year program, I'm guessing, to be able to withdraw from being dependent upon that U.S. financial support. So all of this is causing quite a lot of interest amongst analysts about the relationship between Israel and the United States. And I'm sure we're going to talk a lot more about that in the coming days and weeks.
So, but let's talk about what actually happened. So U.S. forces have now carried out attacks against targets in southern Iran. Iran responded by attacking Kuwait, Jordan, and Bahrain. Is this now an escalation, or is this, you know, each one, I get the impression that each one is contained, but it doesn't really make a difference if they're just happening one day after the other, does it?
Well, the facts on the ground show that the U.S. carried out a relatively extensive attack against Iranian targets all around the Straits of Hormuz and all in that southern Iran area. We understand that the U.S. attacked Iranian air defense systems and ground control stations, radar sites, and a few other sites around that southern Iran area, which they've labeled as being self-defense strikes. And of course, this is in response to the news that was released yesterday that the U.S. Army Apache helicopter that went down over the Straits of Hormuz was actually shot down by or brought down by an Iranian Shahed drone, which have really proven themselves not only in the battle against the U.S. and Israel, but more perhaps importantly in Russia's battle against Ukraine, where the Shaheds have been quite extensively used. And this brought down this Apache helicopter, and the two crew members were ultimately safely found and rescued. And there's been no loss of life or even injury. But President Trump announced yesterday that this necessitated a response from the United States, that this could not go unanswered. And indeed, no sooner had he said that, when he had authorized these strikes last night against these Iranian targets in southern Iran. And of course, by the same token, Iran decided that the U.S. attack against it on its territory also warranted or necessitated a response. And the response, as you mentioned, was the fact that Iran has attacked Kuwait and Bahrain and Jordan, mostly attacked bases that are being used by Americans in those three Gulf countries, Jordan, not really a Gulf country, but Middle Eastern countries, which are around Iran. And so I think it for me, there are a few things which we can potentially learn and understand from this. The first thing is that the whole thing seems quite choreographed to me. The U.S. could not allow that helicopter to go down without a response, and they responded. But the response was relatively limited to, I would say, quite benign infrastructure that they have in southern Iran. So it's radar stations and it's, you know, air defense systems, which are things which I think that Iran could replace and put back up quite quickly and quite easily. And then Iran itself has decided to attack those countries in the area and attack bases that house U.S. Assets. But those missiles that Iran fired were also, in the large part, intercepted, didn't really cause any damage, no big deal, no major issue, no real escalation as far as I can see, all relatively choreographed, and that's it. It'll just kind of probably end right there. No response from Iran towards Israel, which has traditionally been the way that Iran has responded against anything that the United States or Israel have thrown at it, if it wants to really be serious. So no response against Israel, because that certainly would have given the green light for that operation, which had been planned for Monday, to be carried out. And so it's interesting that all of this looks relatively contained, relatively choreographed. It'll all go away. Apparently, the Iranians smell some success here in the negotiations that they're undertaking with the US for this agreement. I think that the Iranians like the smell of this agreement a lot more than the Americans, and certainly much more than the Israelis, who feel that whatever they know about the agreement doesn't look too good for Israel. And J.D. Vance, as I mentioned yesterday, already intimated that Israel may have to be willing to forego its own interests, because the United States and Israel's interests may well be diverging. That was the word that he used, may well be diverging on this particular matter, and that the agreement will certainly serve the U.S. interests way before Israel's interests are concerned. And I think that that's a clear message that this is a real compromise agreement that's not going to favor Israel. And so it's interesting, by the way, that there were rumors in the press last week that Israeli intelligence have been tracking, somehow infiltrating Steve Witkoff and other members of the negotiating team in order to try and get some inside information about what's being said and written as this agreement apparently inches forward. I've said all along that I didn't really think there was an agreement to be made, but that was on the basis of an agreement which respects the initial objectives that were laid out by the president. If there is an agreement, I'm pretty sure that it will not respect those objectives and therefore will not serve Israel's best interest, because those objectives that he laid out seem to fit quite well with what Israel would be looking for out of an agreement. If we're being warned that the interests are diverging, then we can understand that those objectives are really not going to be achieved. So all in all, I think that this escalation yesterday was pretty contained, was even somewhat choreographed. Nobody seems to have been hurt. There was some damage done to a certain infrastructure, Iranian infrastructure in southern Iran around the Straits of Hormuz. And we continue the dance. We continue to move forward as we have done up until now. So I don't think that yesterday's little increase in activity will necessarily change what we've been seeing up until now.
Hester, rabbis have ruled that its students will not be allowed to serve in tank units in the IDF. Why is this?
Well, this really goes to a decision by the Israeli High Court of Justice, which has ruled that the IDF is obliged to allow girls to integrate into tank units. It's something that was decided upon some time ago, but hadn't been implemented. And there was an appeal that was taken to the High Court of Justice, which the court had agreed that girls should be integrated immediately into tank units in the IDF. Now, the Hezder rabbis don't like this idea because they say that this integration of men and women in that very, very close environment, which is a tank, I'm not quite sure exactly how many crew members are in that tank, but we do know that they have to survive in very, very close confines, eating and sleeping and everything else in that tank, potentially for days and days and days at a time. And because of this close proximity and because of the very sort of intimate nature of the relationship that goes on, because that could be an extended period of time that those individuals are required to live alongside each other, doing all of their daily activities without getting out of the tank for extended periods of time, the Hezder rabbis have decided it's not appropriate for boys and girls to be together under those circumstances. And they've decided that their students will not be allowed to serve in the armored corps going forward. And those who are being called up for their service in the next round of call-ups are being advised not to go into the armored corps. Now, why is this a significant issue? Because the Hezder movement is a very respected movement in Israel and particularly in the IDF. It's a program that religious boys and girls, mostly boys but girls as well, can follow, where they study Torah, they have a yeshiva program, but they are also encouraged and obliged to serve in the IDF. And the program involves a combination of service in the IDF and Torah studying all at the same time. It's a program that has been running for some years, very, very successfully, and has produced some of Israel's premier combat soldiers. Many of the students from the Hezder Yeshiva movement have become some of Israel's most heroic soldiers, serving in combat units and serving really in all the most dangerous and the most challenging roles that one could imagine. And so that is a great example for other religiously observant boys and girls who wish to serve in the IDF, how you can combine military service with Torah study all at the same time under a very, very stringent program and governed by rabbis and interpretations of Jewish law and how that would apply.
I know we don't have a lot of time, but this actually, I have to say, makes me a bit dilly, because we spend a lot of time being critical, and I'm not even saying unreasonably critical, of the Haredi, the segment of the Haredi community that is very anti the army for reasons that we might or might not relate to. But when I see this, that the court is forcing, effectively deciding that religious values aren't to be respected, then I wonder if the Haredi community or the ultra-Orthodox community don't have some validity in their concerns.
Well, there's another angle to this, Howard, and the other angle is the secular girls who feel that they should be allowed to have the opportunity to serve in the armed corps. And why should that be off limits
Fine.
To them?
So then they have something that they are in a unit that or a tank area thing that is only women, or that
right.
that these guys have the choice that they won't serve in a tank with women. I mean, you have to be as respectful to religious values, surely, as to other values.
I do agree that this is really, I mean, the reason that I raise this, because it really does bring a conflict to a head here, because the Hesder Yeshiva movement really does produce great soldiers, and we want to support that movement as far as possible. And when rabbis are coming out to their students saying, don't do things and don't serve in this unit, it could potentially be damaging, and I absolutely agree. I wonder whether there isn't a middle road somewhere which says that certain units do have mixed crews and certain units do not have mixed crews, and that the Hesder Yeshiva boys will only be assigned to those units that don't have mixed crews. I just wonder whether the IDF can somehow accommodate this. There must be a way of coming to a good solution on this one.
We do need to leave it there, but definitely a conversation we'll keep having. Anthony Rach, thank you. As always, Anthony, back tomorrow, 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.